see the curtains hanging in the window in the evening of a Friday night.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Sam Abel is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. He had a meeting last night at the city council. Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I had a couple of things I wanted to ask you about that, like, listeners asked me to ask you, so I want to make sure I get to those before we get to the city council from last night. One was trauma center capability at the Gulf Breeze Hospital. I guess, you know, ambulances used to go across the bridge. Now, with that not being available, the question was whether there's any beefed up capability or kind of if you have any information about that.
Well, and of course, I don't speak on behalf of the hospital, sure, Andrew, but we do stay in close communication. And so, yes, the number of life flights that we're seeing from the hospital is quadrupling, to say the least, because, you know, I know just, you know, yesterday they had two life flights. But on any given day, that number is, you know, it has quadrupled, and it is because of the drive. When you have someone's, you know, life in the balance, you just can't take that hour and a half. And so that, I think, is one of the biggest threats with the bridge being down, is the fact that when you have a life flight, you have to coordinate with a doctor on the other end and make sure that they are ready for that accommodation. So when that is increasing as much as it is putting a big burden both on the hospital that is taking the patient and the hospital which is on the receiving end. So our hospitals are doing a phenomenal job, but it is, of course, a huge cost burden as well.
Right.
So we're certainly concerned with that, and I know that our hospitals are looking at, you know, the next 5 months. We are 1 month into bridge repairs, and, you know, they're going to have to make adjustments to make sure that they can do what they can, Andrew. But primarily, you know, Big Baptist, as we call it, is really set up to handle those critical, you know, life safety patient, you know, care. And so I think what you can expect, at least in the short term, in the next couple months, is we're going to continue to see that escalation in life
life,
you know,
flights.
The life,
yeah,
flight.
No,
yeah,
and as you flight. Say, and as you say, that's a very costly thing, and it's obviously not the ideal use of resources, but it's, I mean, you know, it's something, unfortunately. The other question I wanted to ask you is, when we had you on pretty soon after Sally, and I remember asking you how the city performed with all of the floodwater mitigation that had been done since 2014, and I think you were going to tell me that it had gone extraordinarily well, but you were reluctant to do so close after a storm when people were still, you know, tarping up their roofs and that kind of stuff. What would you say now that we're several weeks out?
Well, I'm glad that you asked, that you revisited that question, Andrew. And my hesitation the first time wasn't a hesitation in speaking of the things we had done well. It is because after the last 20 years spent in public service, I know that you don't want to too quickly draw conclusions. It's very similar, as I said to the council last night, to a crime scene where everyone is looking at an emergency through a keyhole, and it's only through getting the composite that you really see the full picture. And it is important for that reason that you allow for a cooling off period for about a week, and then you individually have those debriefs with your incident command team, with those frontline responders. And so until I hear from the front line of our water and sewer crew, until I hear from our technicians, our stormwater operators, you know, what I would have told you, Andrew, had I responded then, is that in 2019, we adopted a new emergency operations plan. We've invested $6 million in 6 years in stormwater, and we were well on our way already with debris cleanup, which our debris is totally complete 22 days after we started. But what I know now, Andrew, after doing anonymous employee surveys and addressing those, you know, debriefing meetings, is that, of course, you know, every city, every local government is always striving to do better. But there were gaps as it relates to our communications. And one of the things I shared with council last night is that our emergency response in Santa Rosa and Escambia came together and said, at 30 miles an hour, we're no longer going to be able to make those medical calls. At 50 miles an hour, we're going to have to pull back. we gave that order, but we had crews who were slow to receive that information, or they just did not want to take a step back when there were neighborhoods and threat of flooding.
Yeah.
And so, Andrew, I saw a video of our crews at 3 o'clock in the morning. We had an employee who had who was hit by debris, fell to his knees, dropped a flashlight in deep water. Our crews were out there at 11:30 and out at 3 in the morning, and again at 6. And at 6 is when we heard, you know, the radio call pulled them back in. So when you look at the fact that we had more water than we had in 2014, mm-hmm. that we had well over 30 inches in 48 hours, in 2014, we had homes flood that received 20 to 30 inches inside their home. In this event, you had flooding, but it was 2 to 3 inches, and that's primarily because of the pumps that we deployed. One of the things I shared with council last night is, as a city manager, was it worth it? And my response is no, it wasn't. I am not going to be the city manager that when other cities stand down, we have employees who are so dedicated to their position and to their calling that they put themselves in harm's way. So we need to do a better job of making sure that when that call goes out to fall back, that our employees understand that nothing is as important as their safety. Now, we did have our fire department broke that call. They talked about that last night because we had a full structural fire. They were concerned of life safety. Unfortunately, they were not able to get to the home, but they were able to verify that everybody was safe and had been able to evacuate. And so some of the takeaways, are just as we continue to fully connect our Peninsula City to a gravity feed system, then what we'll obviously see is less of a need for those portable pumps. But compared to Santa Rosa County, the city of Pensacola, Holly Navarre Water System, undoubtedly the city of Gulf Breeze was able to thankfully do more preparedness with pumping down our ponds, mm-hmm. putting out those pre-deployed pumps. But unfortunately, what we saw is that of our 7 stormwater pump stations in the city, all 7 failed at some point due to power outages. And it's not as simple, Andrew, as just putting out a generator, as some people think.
Right.
A generator is mechanical. When it's submerged, it's not going to work.
Yeah, we're aware that sometimes things happen. But ECU UA had problems like this as well. And as you say, it's not such a simple thing to solve. But that's a lot of really good information, and a lot of things to work on, and a lot of things to celebrate that were done well before. Sam Abel, she is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Sam, as always, thank you for the time. Thank you for the explanation, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sure. Thank you, Andrew.